This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
28. يسلم أما بعد اليوم 28 من شهر ذي القعدة 1445 الموافق لستة من شهر جون 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So alhamdulillah, last dars we talk about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقُنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about those who are doing the righteous thing, doing the correct thing. He talked about the opposite and the contrary before. And this is one of the meaning of the word al-mathani. وَلَقَدْ أَتِنَاكَ سَبْعَ مِنَ الْمَثَانِي. Mathani, some scholars said, it's not only about repetition, but to mention something together with the vid, something that is against. Jannah, hell, righteous, bad, like that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those who are going to hell. After that, he says, but there is a good news for the good ones. They have this jannat that we explained last time. You know, in the hereafter, we have only two places, right? Do we have a third place? Araf is not a place of staying. It is a temporary place. It's a temporary place. The dwelling places are two, either hell or paradise. You know, Araf is just a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put those people who have equal deeds, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them in the dream, right? In the hadith of Ru'ya in Sahih Bukhari, he says, those angels who took him to that journey, they will tell them to go and enter paradise, to go and wash themselves first in that water, to remove the dark side of their life, and then they will go to paradise. So people in Araf will end up going to paradise. And this is also what we learn from the surah itself, right? Surah Al-Araf. وَبَيْنَهُمَا رِجَالٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَى أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ هَؤُلَاءِ لَا قَبْلَ وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ أَيْنَامَ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ. And scholars said this is the people in the Araf. Allah commanded them to go to paradise. You know, so they will not stay in that place forever. Yeah, the only places of staying forever is either Jannah or Nar. Alhamdulillah, whatever we need to pass the test in this dunya has been presented to us. Yeah, it's just up to us to make use of it. Ibn Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, in one of his writings, he talks about jima'u a'mali ahli an-nar, aw kalimatan tuwaziha. He talks about, in general, the activities and the actions that can lead a person to hell. They did a good job. It's good for a person to go and see that one, yeah, so that you can avoid, falling into any one of them. There is a book written by Umar al-Ashqar, Al-Jannat wa-Nar. He quoted also that statement for, in case you couldn't get it from Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah directly, you can go to that one also and get what he says. It's good for a person to check and see. then look into your life, you know, see which category you fall into, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is a good news for those people who are not like those ones. Yeah, those who did the righteous thing, the good thing, they will go to paradise. And they'll be given that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَجْعَلَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ جَنَّةِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and by the way, we talk about Firdaus. Do you remember any quick way for a person to go to Firdaus? Knowledge, especially Hifz al-Quran. You know, Hifz al-Quran. Why do you say Hifz al-Quran can lead to Firdaus? Maybe by the time he finished min al jannah wa nas, he only reached half of Jannah. There are some who read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Slowly. That's Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So it depends on the, is it going to have high speed, that one? And this one will go. Do you have an explanation through that narration that shows that yes, we're expecting this person to be in Firdaus, inshallah? Oh, somebody from behind the screen, yeah, I think help you.
Can I take that hadith?
No, that one is too general. He says, Al-Mahir fil Quran. Ma safrat al kirami al barra. Not that one. The same hadith you brought. يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها. Okay, so somebody talks about levels in Jannah, right? And there are levels in Jannah. Minimum is 100 levels. And some scholars said, no, it is according to the verses of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sahib al-Quran, somebody who memorized Quran, will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to read. You read one ayah, you go daraja. He said one level. Ayah, daraja. Ayah, daraja. Ayah, daraja. That's why those scholars said, the levels in Jannah, they are according to the verses of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of a scholar said, we are expecting bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, the one who finished the whole Quran, insha'Allah, to find himself in Firdaus, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. But this is also conditional, right? If he acts upon it. And now, do we have huffaz, but they are corrupt? Very corrupt, actually. Yeah, a lot. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam already mentioned that he says in the future there will be a time where كَثِيرٌ قُرَّأُهُ قَلِيلٌ فُقَهَهُ. In the past they have قَلِيلٌ قُرَّأُهُ وَكَثِيرٌ فُقَهَهُ. الفقه هنا is not only the understanding. Because what is fiqh? Putting that which you understand into action. You understand, you don't act upon it. You are not faqih at all. So fiqh means to understand and to put it into action. You get it? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the scholars. The other people don't fear Allah. They do, right? But the real person who fears Allah is the scholar. Because this is how it is. The way, the more you know Allah, the more you fear Him. That's why angels, their iman is far greater than our iman. There is no way for you to reach an angel in iman. That's why we call them al-malaikatu. Allah called them al-malaikatu al-muqarrabun. And they're the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater than us. There is no room of comparison at all. Exactly, inshallah. Yeah, and then after the angels, you have the prophets. You know, the way they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing. After the angels, you have the scholars. Yeah, the more righteous you are, the more knowledgeable you are, the more righteous you should be. Yeah. You get my word right? You should be. Not the more righteous you are. Because we have people who learn, but they're the worst. They're the worst. That's why Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, وَهَلْ أَفْسَدَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْمُلُوكُ وَأَحْبَارُ سُوءٍ وَرُهْبَانُهَا. He says, is there anyone who corrupts this religion and destroy the religion other than the kings and the leaders and the wrong and the evil scholars? By the way, who is worse? A bad leader or an evil scholar? But you have to tell me why they say evil scholar if you choose that one.
Almost.
You have a time when you don't go with the leaders, you go to jail, they kill some, you know. Fitna khalq al-Qur'an in the past, and so many fitan, you know. Yeah.
Because a bad leader might be doing it out of love for the dunya, but a scholar who intentionally misguides people is almost always doing it for the intention of corrupting the deen.
Okay. Might not be the case. Yeah, because you have many scholars, and trust me, Adam, they know the truth. But they don't want to lose their dunya. They know the truth. And his intention is not to corrupt the deen. His intention is none other than protecting his own interests. Yeah. His intention is none other than protecting his interests. You know, that's why sometimes he knows that this is wrong. But he will give fatwa in that way.
Is it because the corrupt scholar lies against the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
They might not. Because they will not say Rasulullah qal. But he will tell you, yeah, this is not it. It's okay. That is khilaf, you know. It's okay. Time has changed based on the custom and culture. This should be okay. Wallahu ghafurur rahim.
May I add something? I think the answer is that the scholar, they know the consequences, they know the hukum of everything, but the hakam of the ruler, he might not know what are the consequences of the hukum.
Yeah. Correct. All of the answers you are saying are correct, are true. Yeah. It's just not the one I'm looking for. That's why you will keep on failing. Yeah, that's why you give up a failure. Okay, people from the behind the screen also lost. Okay. Yeah, that somebody says a leader. Yeah. Why? Because they force. You know, sometimes they kill, sometimes you lose your life, sometimes. However, I choose, sorry Sajjad, I'm going to go against you. I choose the scholar to be the worst if they are bad. Because leaders, maximum they can do is what? Kill. Take you to jail and that's it. That's the maximum. But a scholar will come and tell you, this one, what is this? White, right? A scholar can tell you this is black. And use all sorts of evidence and to make you, Ihsan, go to Hamad and tell him, Hamad, you're blind, you don't see through people correctly. Everyone on earth will say, this is white. But you, because you get convinced by that person, you know? So what does that mean? It means they have the capacity to let you change your iman. Although you are free walking, moving on the street, but you are actually worse than that person who is in jail because they steal your iman. If you die in that way, where do you go? Hell, waliyaz billah. They don't beat, they don't do anything, but they will make you believe that this is correct. in a way you're going to find the community also spread this corrupt message. Yeah, that's why they're worse when they go bad. See, the way Allah wants to describe them, subhanAllah, you know, the worst people when they go bad, they are the scholars. And many governments in the past, when you go, in the past, when they're during the time of the Khilafah, who are the vast majority who are influencing them, telling them to keep doing what they're doing? The scholars are out there. You get it? Yeah. So that's what Abdullah ibn Mubarak was saying. وَهَلْ أَفْسَدَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْمُلُوكُ وَأَحْبَارُ سُوءٍ وَرُهْبَانُهَا. Both when they are corrupt, musibah is going to happen. But that one is worse. If you can preserve the scholars aside, بإذن الله تعالى, the ummah will be able to breathe. You know? So the real fiqh is what? Putting that which you understand into action. Yeah. If you learn but you don't practice, trust me, you are not faqih at all. You're ignorant. You know? And that knowledge is going to be musibah against you in the day of judgment. That's why Sahibu Az-Zabad says, he's one of the Shafi'i scholars. There's a matan in Zabat, there's a matan in Shafi'i school. He says, وَعَالِمٌ بِعِلْمِهِ لَا يَعْمَلًا مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ. And he says, the one who has knowledge but he doesn't use his knowledge, مُعَذَّبٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ عُبَّادِ الْوَثَنِ, he might be punished before the idol worshippers. Yeah. A person who has knowledge and he doesn't use the knowledge might get into trouble before the... So if you memorize the Quran and you act upon it, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, we hope that you go to paradise. How many memorize the Quran here? Finish the Quran. I got one. Who else? Finish. Ehsan? Nobody except one? Okay. How many have half of it? Alhamdulillah. Also one. I'm afraid if I ask how many has nothing, also one will say. Okay, anyway, please try your best. It's an honor. Wallah, it's an honor to go out of this dunya with the Quran. And my advice to you is, don't rush. Yeah, take a portion that is reasonable and be committed. Quran needs commitment. Yeah, I always mention this. Quran needs commitment. Don't stop. Yeah. Take, if you want to memorize 5 lines every day, just 5 lines every day. Keep going. Don't rush, because sometimes, 5 lines, so little, you know, and then you add 10 lines, 2 pages, 3 pages, yeah, and then you'll be able to do them for 2-3 days maybe, or 1 week, and then you start getting bored. Yeah, and then soon you will stop. That person who is patient with 5 lines, they are very easy to memorize. He can keep them for ages. Yeah. So it is my personal advice to all of you, those who did not memorize yet, take a portion from the Quran according to your schedule, you know, that little, memorize bit by bit, bit by bit. Insha'Allah, tasil bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla. They will come, you finish the whole book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is my personal advice, so that you will not lose, you know. The reward is so great. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Sahib al-Quran, the one who memorized Quran, Allah will bring his parent, the parent of Hafiz, right? Who memorized the Quran? The parent or him?
Him.
The parent did not. But Allah will bring them, and Allah will put on them tajr waqar, or libas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them cloth. This cloth and this libas, if you are to evaluate them, they are greater than the dunya and whatsoever in it. He's the parent of the one who memorized Quran. Why? Because they bore him. They gave birth to him. Allah is respecting them in this way by giving them this kind of address in the hereafter as a means of respect. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what do you think about the son? I mean, if this is the parent, who did not do, but their child did, What do you think about the son, the one who did it directly? That's what Imam Shatibi says, Hani'an mari'an walidaka alayhima malabisu anwarin min at-taji wal-hula. Qala fama dhannukum bin-najri 'inda jazaihi. Ulaika ahlullahi was-safwatu al-mala. And it is enough also to know that Ahlul Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hum ahlullahi wa khassatu. The special, you know, people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. They have special love, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please try your best and take simple amount of portion that inshallah you will not get bored and you will be able to memorize it correctly. So that's the summary of what we did last time. So inshallah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you look for Jannah, look for Firdaus, because it's the highest Jannah. How to go to Firdaus? Not by sleeping. Yeah, you want to go to Firdaus, you have to be wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it possible to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, Hamad. Can we be awliya of Allah? Sure. How difficult it is? Huh? Very difficult, right? Actually, if you look at the wilayah, every Muslim, this might be new for you, every Muslim is wali. Every Muslim is wali. However, wilayah has maratib levels according to the iman of a person. You get it? The more iman you have, the more wilayah you have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put their faith into action, these are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every Muslim is wali. But the wilayah is maratib. Right? The wilayah is maratib. Yeah? You have levels in the wilayah. Those people who are very close and very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be closer to Him than the one who commits sin sometimes and sometimes doesn't do. Allah says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ. This is a very good news, I'm telling you. He says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. He says, we gave the book. We let those, the people that we have chosen, he said, الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا, we chose them from our slaves. You remember this word, اصْطَفَيْنَا. Allah says, we chose them from our slaves. He says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Amongst them you have a ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Who is a ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ? That who commits sins, you know, but still Muslim. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ, يعني, that is a fasiq, that doesn't care, you know. Backbite, cheat, riba, and all of these, you know. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ, and you have the moderate ones. Allah says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ, and you have those who are rushing, you know, in doing righteous deed. Subhanallah. None of them is exempted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will all go to Jannah. The first group might be in trouble at first. After they become purified, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to Jannah. But all will end up going to Jannah. You get it? So that's why they lose hope and do the right thing. And as I said, my advice is, make sure that you memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put it into action. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will get the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's have intention. Those of us who did not memorize Quran, please start today. Right after my class, start before you reach your room or your house, finish one ayah. Yeah. And be serious. As I said, it just need from you commitment. Don't stop. Let's keep moving. You open yours? Okay. Okay, so that was the summary of what we did. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you His love and Jannah to Firdaus. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها. فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم، وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يذل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا، وما يذل به إلا الفاسقين الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feel shy of giving any example, any parable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't feel shy of making any example or parable. And subhanAllah, you see the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given through histories and narrations, wallahi, they contain a lot of lessons that a person really need to focus on. You know, your success in life lies in understanding them. That's why one of the Salaf al-Saleh used to say, إِذَا سَمِعْتُ الْمَثَلَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فَلَمْ أَفْهَمْهُ بَكَيْتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. You see, whenever I hear a parable being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and I try to get it, I don't get something from it. Because it's not just about understanding and seeing it as something interesting or funny. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't joke. Allah doesn't joke or mention something to us because it is funny. No, never, never, never. There is no such a thing in the Quran. It might, you know, be interesting in terms of listening, or person might see it as something that is so funny and be very interesting to listen to. But subhanAllah, Allah is bringing it and putting it in that way to catch your attention and also to be able to grab the lessons that are contained in it. That's why in Surah Shura, Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he mentioned a story of a prophet, at the end of that story, he says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. After every story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, in that which has been mentioned to you, there is a lesson. There is a great lesson. There are fawa'id. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the people are heedless. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Right? مُؤْمِنِينَ. وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, that is a great lesson for you to grab and generate from this story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us. But unfortunately, the vast majority of people are heedless. That's why the amthal in the Quran and the stories and the qisas in the Quran, they are short, concise, and straight to the point. You know, the exception of story of Yusuf alayhi salam. That's the lengthiest story Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you see this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so lengthy to us. Because many things that we need is there in that surah. Abdurrahman Sa'adi has a small book that he write on the lessons being extracted from Surah to Yusuf. You will like amazing things you see in that place. Every single part of it is amazing. And this is the nature of all the stories in the Quran. That's why if you look at the way Allah SWT is narrating stories, they are very concise, straight to the point. And focusing on that which benefits. Because those people who came before us, they have a lot of things they did in this dunya. A lot. Not everything we need. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just tell us what we need from that story. You get it? That's why sometimes some stories will be how many lines? One line, two lines, or even less. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ عَلَى رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. The story of Aad, finished. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْأَوْتَادِ بِالْوَادِ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. You know, وَفِرْعَوْنَ ثَمُودَ, also one line. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, and Fir'aun ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, finished. All of these three most arrogant nations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined them in these few lines. And you, Allah, if you sit down and study those few lines, is more than enough for you. is more than enough for you. So I really invite you, whenever you read Quran, focus. You know, the statement of this scholar is really interesting and accurate. He says, if I hear the mathal or story by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and I did not understand that mathal, he said, I cry. Why am I crying? He said, because Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْضَرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. These are the parables and stories we are narrating to you. We are giving you these parables. Allah says, but unfortunately, nobody understands them correctly except the scholars, alimun. So he said, if I couldn't understand, that means I'm not included among these ones. So Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَقَهَا. Allah doesn't feel shy of giving any example, whether it is بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Many scholars said, this is a refutation against the Jews and the hypocrites. Yeah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talk about مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this example, you know, and so many other parables, you know, كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَ, you know, and so many other, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ. We will talk about these ones, inshallah, later. The munafiqeen says, what is this? What is this? You said you are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Quran is from Allah. Why do we have these examples? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than making these examples. These are so insignificant things. So Allah is refuting them. He says, what's wrong with that? Allah doesn't feel shy of giving a parable, you know, an example like that. Whether it is with ba'udha, fama fawqaha. And subhanAllah, if you trust science, you know, what science is telling us about mosquito, you know, it's amazing, you know. Maybe elephant doesn't have that. Yeah, I heard somebody saying that mosquito has how many eyes? A lot, hundreds, right? I know. Allahu alam, how to believe in that, but anyway, it says it has more. And heart, three hearts, right? Yeah, something like that. And subhanAllah, it checks and verifies the blood, which one? That's why it might come Hazik and Asfar. And then it comes and touch Hazik. Sorry, Hazik. No, I don't want this blood. It goes to Asfar, yeah, I want that. You know, it checks and see. And puts also something there which will make you think that there is nothing on you. It put those knife and get the blood in the way it wants. You know, and subhanAllah, they said from far distances can smell the kind of blood it wants and come to the place straightforward. Yeah. What kind of creation is this? You know, subhanAllah. Life in khalqihi shu'un. And it takes from you, you know, when do you start feeling? After it already left. Then you will start feeling the pain, right? Yeah. And by the time you what are you going to do? You try to identify the place and hit the place, but already a mosquito is there laughing at you, right? And then you hit yourself. Yeah. So, wallahu alam, we agree, we don't agree with them, but we believe it has a lot of things, you know, inside. Every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has amazing things in them. So Allah says, there's nothing wrong in giving parables, and actually these are the best, some of the best way, the method, you know, to bring things closer. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Whether this parable is through the usage of mosquito, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. مَا فَوْقَهَا, if you go with the literal meaning, مَا فَوْقَهَا means something above, right? Yeah, but some scholars said, no, Allah is referring to something which is دُونَهَا. مَا فَوْقَهَا means فَمَا دُونَهَا, even lower than that. I said, كَرِيب. It's really bad. Yeah, I mentioned one of these criminal that I don't want to destroy my tongue by mentioning their names. Yeah, those who kill Muslims all the time, you know. I mentioned one of them to you. He did this, he did that. And you said, no, huwa fawqa dhalik. Yeah, but above that is much insignificant than that. Because I'm mentioning things which are so silly, you know, he's doing. I said, actually, he's beyond that one. It means, kamaduna. So there is no shyness in giving. Example, inna Allah la yastahi, wallahu la yastahi, min al-haq. You know. So, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, some scholars said, even madunaha. So Allah SWT doesn't feel shy of giving example with ba'ud, which is the mosquito, or elephant, or lower than the ba'ud. We have some insects which are... Yeah, SubhanAllah, some scholars have mentioned about ba'ud, ta'ish maja'at. As long as it is hungry, it lives. When it gets full, it dies. Ajib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there's no shyness in this. Allah doesn't feel shy of giving any parable. Ba'udatan fama fawqaha. This is in line with the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة لما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. SubhanAllah. If the dunya has the value of the wing of a mosquito, you know the wing of a mosquito, right? How many weights? The weight of the wing of a mosquito. If you take like 10, hundreds of them here, I don't think you feel that there is something on you, right? Mm. This wing of a mosquito, if the dunya has the weight and the value of this, you know, weight like a mosquito, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will never let a kafir get drop of water to drink. But dunya doesn't have value. That's why he lets everyone to just take what they want. That's why in the hereafter, those who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be punished. How many layers of punishment? Three. Punishment of not accepting Allah. Punishment of not practicing the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And punishment of taking the resources of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without paying the due price. Yeah, because they breathe, the air is not free. The food is not free. The water is not free. All of these things that Allah SWT put in this life for our own benefit is not true. They have to pay it. You know? And what is the payment? Iman. You know? Iman. That's why whoever believes in Allah SWT, so this is what Allah SWT is using to make it as a payment for this. The kafir, when he goes back to Allah SWT in kufr, the punishment might be reduced because of his kindness. Yeah. Do we have kufar who are kind to people? Yes. But this is useless because they are not kind to the one who brought them, who created them. It doesn't make sense. You are, you know, misbehaving towards the person who is always doing, I'm talking about human beings here, always doing good to you. But those who hate you, you always try to come closer to them and do things in the right way towards them. So Allah created us. The first one that you should be good and kind to is Rabbul Alameen. The kafir is not like that. Yeah, he doesn't do the right thing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went and do the kindness to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the hereafter, those who are kind among them, the punishment might be reduced. Not to stop the punishment, but it might be reduced. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ indicated that. Abu Talib, did he support Islam? Yes. Did he go out of hell? No. Did the Prophet ﷺ manage to reduce the punishment? Yes. He interceded for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduced the punishment because of that. Get it? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Yeah, they go to hell because they don't pray. That means they are obliged to pray. But the issue is, we don't impose the prayer on them because there is no iman. But between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to pray. If they don't, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what if he prays? The prayer will be useless. Why? Because he doesn't fulfill the condition. If I pray without tahara, my prayer will be useless. Why? Because I missed one of the conditions. But why when I tell Mazin, the conditions for your prayer to be accepted, I don't start with Islam. I start with Tahara. Why? Because Islam is already there. But John, I tell him, the condition for a prayer to be accepted, number one, Islam. Number two, Tahara. Number three, Satr al-Awra. Number four, facing the Qibla. Istiqbal al-Qibla, Tukhul al-Waqt, like that. But this, he has to pray. Yes, he has to. If he doesn't, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I will not tell him, you pray because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask me to do that. But that's the relationship between him and Rabbul Alameen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة لما سقى كافرا منها شربة ماء. So if the dunya has the value of the wing of a mosquito, the kafir would not have a drop of water to drink. So dunya is so insignificant and useless. That's why Allah lets everyone to do whatever he wants to do, but in the day of judgment, everyone will pay the price. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يُشَاكُ شَوْكَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ بِهَا الدَّرَجَةً وَمُحِيَتْ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً. There will be no Muslim who will be stepping on a thorn. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, مَا فَوْقَهَا means anything lower, it's not above, you know, shawka, or lower than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his sins. SubhanAllah, very lovely religion. Even this one also, they will be acting as kafara for you. Right? Anything that annoys a Muslim, a good Muslim, is a kafara for him. That is a cause for that, and Allah is doing it to give you relief from your sins. So he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Allah SWT gave a lot of examples and parables in the Quran. True? Yeah. One of them is this. One of them is the one that we just previously dealt with about the munafiqeen, right? مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. You know, there's a great message in it, but unfortunately, only the wise and the smart and the people of consciousness will understand. You have يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَن يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Where is this? Surah Al-Hajj, right? The last page in Surah Al-Hajj. Allah SWT gave this example. SubhanAllah. Very, very big and enough example for the idol worshippers, for them to understand what exactly they are doing and how to quit, and the reality of what they are dealing with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. You know ankabut, right? Spider. Do you ever see two spiders in one place?
Never.
That would kill the other. That's why they said, if you go Bayt al-Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ. The worst type of houses is a house of ankabut. What is the house of ankabut? See those webs, right? When that is cold, does it stop them from getting cold? When there is high temperature, the heat, when rain comes, when wind comes, you know, what kind of house is this? And they said this is the external, you know, part of the house of the ankabut. Internally, they have no family life. They always in fighting. You can see how Allah SWT says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. And the worst type of house, the weakest house, is the house of ankabut. Yeah. So this is also another example. Allah SWT says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٍ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Which kalima is this? لا إله إلا الله. ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار. الشرك بالله عز وجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضرب لكم مثلا من أنفسكم هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم من شركاء فيما رزقناكم. Yeah? Another example in Surah Al-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضرب الله مثلا رجلا فيه شركاء متشاكسون. Another example in Surah Az-Zumar, right? That's Zumar. Still, I remember Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَذْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسُ وَمَا يَقُلْهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِيَ أَنْ. So many other parables for those who memorize Quran, Allah, you will see them in his book. So Allah says he doesn't feel shy of giving any example, whether with mosquito or something lower or something above. And in any example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, any parable there is a great lesson for us to benefit from. So he says, بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. The good ones, when they hear these things, they will say, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah wants us to learn something from this. You get it? Allah wants us to learn something from this. So they believe that this is from Allah, and there is something that we have to pay attention to in this mathal given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. As for the bad ones, the wrongdoers, when they hear this, they will say, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit from this example, parable? And also, what does he mean? Pretended that this is useless and insignificant. فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. These amthal, and many things actually, when they come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing them for tamhis, to see who will accept and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and agree and focus and learn and get the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending through this parable to him. So, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَقُولُونَ فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide so many people because of this. And others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them go astray. They don't want to understand. They don't understand and they don't want to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And who are the people who are misguided? Because of this mathal given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-fasikun. Who are the fasikun? Alladhina kharaju an ta'atillahi asuchal. Those who went against the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a fasiq. You know, al-fasiq is somebody who went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they refused to go and understand the message. They refused to learn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them go astray because of their behaviors. Yeah? So that was their choice, right? They choose this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forced somebody to go against him. Allah gave us a free will to choose what we want to do, right? So those who did not choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they disobeyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them keep going. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. قَالَ يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. كَثِيرًا here is referring to the believers, the mu'mineen. I'm sorry. وَيُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. كَثِيرًا here is referring to the munafiqeen, you know, and the wrongdoers, right? وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And the second one is referring to the believers. وَمَا يُذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. The first fasiq is a kafir, you know. And the kuffar is the anwa, the munafiqeen. These are the worst type of fisq and kufr. And then you have also the normal fusaq from the mu'mineen. Do we have a fasiq from among the believers? Yes. We have a fasiqeen. If a person is not willing to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he has iman, but he's still, he is called fasiq because of his disobedience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُذِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقُطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَئِكُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. This ayah has some relationship with Silat al-Rahim and other matters. Inshallah, I will delay it, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala, until the next class so that we can do justice to it, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. If there is any question, please come up with it. Barakallahu feek.
Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum dunya wal akhirah. First question for today. Question by Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum.
That delayed questions, right?
Attending classes online, how to preserve.
What should we tell her? Don't go online. Come to the physical class, right? Okay, anyway. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mabuthi rahmatin lil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. As the scholars or the wisdom says, ما لا يدرك كله لا يترك جله. Yeah, something that you cannot get all of it, you shouldn't leave. I mean, the vast majority of it or whatever you can achieve. So as a believer, you just work based on the available. You know, you are within the range of the class, come to the class. It's more beneficial. You have the tranquility, you understand more, you have more chance to interact with the speaker, with the teacher, with the sheikh, the scholar, whoever is teaching. And also from their actions and from the way things have been presented, also you'll be able to understand more. Yeah. However, if this is not possible, the class is taking place in Malaysia and you are in Saudi, India, Bangladesh, you know, wherever you are, you know, what to do now? Unless if you're corrupt, because there are some people who pray in Mecca every day. I mean, that's their claim. They say they pray in Kaaba every day. You have those who the Kaaba comes to them, actually. So if you're not among those losers, you cannot come to the class. When you read one day, you will see all of these useless things. They don't pray at all, but when somebody asks them, they tell them. Actually, every day they go to Mecca and pray there and come back. So if you are in another place, you cannot attend the class physically. So what to do in this case? Either there is online a class which we discover after the existence of the corona. It used to be that, but nobody is paying attention that much to it. So after the corona, then almost everything now is online. Meetings are online. So it has its own benefits for those who cannot afford coming physically. You get it? And it has a lot of side effects. Yeah. One of these is that to maintain your focus is not easy. To maintain your focus is not easy. Yeah, especially when you have the video is muted. So I don't see, the lecturer or the teacher, whoever, doesn't see who is there, who is sleeping, who is attending. Yeah, alhamdulillah, in classes like this, we believe everyone is attending. Yeah. But in the classes in the kuliah, you know what is there. You know, that's why you call people by name, nobody is responding. Yeah, and after the class, trust me, almost every time after the class, you're going to see
the someone is staying there.
A couple of them are staying there. You go out and come back, they're still there. They don't know the class finished. And the moment you start saying, "Qul qawli hadha," you see, quit. It's just like they're just waiting for you to start finishing, you know. Yeah. The reason why you should come to the class, because sometimes, many times actually, you need to see the sumt of the scholar, the one who is teaching, the way they behave. Yeah, it's really necessary. In the past, they used to send their children actually to classes, not for the knowledge itself, but for the adab. To just focus and monitor the sheikh, what is he doing, and also to do the same thing in their life. They send their kids for this in the past. So nowadays, this is gone, subhanAllah. Even the physical one also, and you know the nature of our classes, right? Yeah. Wallah, illa ma rahimahullah. Except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon. But when we come to the class, we come with our phones. Nowadays we have the iPad, everyone has, you know. Yeah. You see a person, you're giving lecture and that guy is watching YouTube, laughing like Majnoon. And you don't mention in the class anything that can cause laughing. Nobody's laughing actually except him. What is he laughing at? When you go to the phone, you see him watching something and laughing. He will laugh. Yeah, this is who we are. That's why you can see the kind of the graduate we are producing. Allah Mustan. What are they benefiting the community with? Zero. Nothing. The idea is just to graduate and get a good job. That's it. No, knowledge is not about that. Universities are not for this. Schools and classes, you know, halaqat, they are not for this. They are the place of tarbiyah, where you become somebody, an ambassador, somebody who represents Islam in promoting good and eradicating evil, giving your contribution to the community, helping, supporting. You Allah, this is how it's supposed to be. But how do you get this from your lecturer? If you're in the class and he's talking and you're busy with your phone, how does that work? Never. You come to the class the time you want, you go out the time you want, you know. How? That's why in the past, they try to be the first in the class before the sheikh. You know, some go to the class in the past. They go to the class and sit in the majlis of sheikh, and there is no class. And they said, because we don't want our nafs to be familiar with resting, that there is something called no class today. So they go to the majlis, the place, when they don't have anything else, they go and do their revision there. They revise in that place. You know, subhanAllah, I was reading about some students long ago, you know. SubhanAllah, for 3 days, they couldn't have food. Real food to eat. This is studying. 3 days. They eat. You know, they drink, they eat, but something insignificant. They have no time for food. Yeah. So they mentioned that they went in the day number 3, they are going to meet one of the scholars in his majlis. So they are told that today there will be no class. So they said, okay, unfortunately, inna, but at least we can have time to now to go and eat something. Yeah. On the way, they bought fish. They went, they just put the fish there to dry it first after they washed. And then somebody told them that, no, they saw the sheikh going to the class. Yeah, class comes back. So they pack it, they ate it, raw fish on the way. They don't want to miss the class. Now, no more. Yeah, no more. The day we celebrate is the day the class has been cancelled. The class has been cancelled. That's celebration. Wallahi, we shouldn't do that, you know. We live with so scholars, and subhanAllah, no matter how much we try, we just think that we are not doing anything, but we're so scholars who are, subhanAllah, a different dimension. I remember Sheikh, one of our scholars in Medina, his supervisees, one of the great scholars in Medina, his supervisees, they always get into trouble. Yeah. You know, this FYP, we also have it there, final year project. So this sheikh is just treating this one like a master's. They're writing a thesis for the master's. Yeah, these are great scholars, and you cannot play game, you cannot play around. And remember, this sheikh doesn't accept, you know, using online research. In those days, internet is not that much available for the student. But we have some softwares that carries a lot of books. So we're going to do research and get from there. And subhanAllah, I said sometimes when a student go and present the papers to him, he will read and tell him, Mazin, where did you get this? Mazin will say, yeah, I got it from Ibn Qudama and all this. He said, no, you got it from those softwares. He said, no, Sheikh, I got it from Ibn Qudama. The Sheikh will tell him, okay, there is no way for this topic to be found in that volume that you mentioned. Ibn Qudama never talked about this in this volume. How many we have in how many volumes we have in Mughni? Around 14 volumes. I remember that Sheikh told the student that he read this book 4 times. You Allah, he kept on mentioning those books with so many CDs. This one I read 3 times, 2 times, 4 times. That's why he always tells students, you guys are not reading. And that's why sometimes you claim that the predecessors did not talk about a matter. They did, but just did not read it. So whoever is under that scholar will get into trouble, because he used to deal with that final year project, which is supposed to be just a few pages, right? As if you are writing a PhD or master's. thesis. So when the student complained, and this is the reason why I brought the story. When the student complained, he told them, I don't know what happened to the students nowadays. And subhanAllah, in our time, if the imam, what is the name of the one in front? Imam. If the imam says, that's after the whole prayer. If the imam says, what is he going to say? As-salamu alaykum, right? The prayer is over, right? Trust me, maybe one third of the masjid already left. And you hear, people are running. Where are they going? To the canteen, to eat food. Everyone rushing so that the good one would not finish. Yeah. I remember they said somebody visited the university and he saw students running right after the prayer. So he also followed them. He doesn't know what happened. You know, in the middle of the way, everyone stopped. So he asked, wait a minute, what happened actually? They told him, there's nothing. We're just going to get our food, you know, before it finished. He says, wallahi, I thought there's fire in there. I was scared of waiting to ask, but I just follow everyone. So that was the nature. But he says, in his time, subhanAllah, he says, I remember in our time, after the imam says salam, the same way you guys are running, we also run, but to the library. Yallah. So different, you know. That's why if you look at their knowledge and you compare it with ours, la hawla la quwwata illa billah. So I really urge people to be serious as much as they can. But for the people who cannot attend classes physically, online platform is the best method they have. So what can they do? They try their best to focus. Do everything possible to focus and stay away from anything that can distract. So if you're at home, where distractions there, you have younger siblings, you have children, listen to your classes in a place where they will not reach you. Stay away from anything that can disturb. And also alternatively, because if you're at home, anything can happen. Say, wife is busy listening to a lecture, live lecture. Husband came back from work. He wants his food. He doesn't understand what lecture she is. So what can she do here? Then make sure that there is something that is recording the lecture for you at the time you're going to be absent. And right after you finish entertaining him, then come back to the class. And I suggest after the class, listen to that part which you miss and take note on it. Okay. One of these methods, also writing, which we don't do these days that much. Yeah. In the past, they used to write. Sayyid ibn Jubayr used to write whatever he heard from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Yeah? He used to write on a paper, write everything. When the paper's finished, he used to write on his hand, everything on his body, on his leg, on his foot, shin. He used to write on the shoes also. Everything that can accept writing, just write. They used to laugh at him. What are you doing? He used to not care. This is how the student of knowledge should act. So he used to write on everything that can accept writing. So his colleague used to laugh at him. SubhanAllah, in the future, he was the one who was laughing at them. Because they became in the community. If you talk about tafsir, he's number one. If you talk about fiqh, number one. Talk about hadith. Whatever you talk, you see that person is number one. Every single person amongst them has his own specialization. But this man is like somebody who is specialized in everything. Moving in university. Like his sheikh, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Because Abdullah ibn Abbas is like that. Whatever comes from him, just write. We don't have this behavior nowadays. You get it? So I would suggest for those people who are attending online also to take note. And these notes should be kept aside after we are done with them. So when am I going to be done with them? I wrote the note. Okay. When I reach home, before I sleep, I make sure that I memorize everything in my note. Right, and then I keep the note aside. Last, done with them. We're not like that, right? we write the note, then it will become another book in my shelf, right? Yeah, whenever somebody asks, we have to go and see what did he say last time, you know? No, this is not knowledge. Knowledge is that which you remember inside. I remember they mentioned somebody, the thieves took his books and he cried. That was the only thing he has. And the thief was asking him, what kind of a scholar are you, you know? That's your capital. If the book is gone, then who are you? Ignorant person. True? That's how it is. If my knowledge is in my book, when the book is missing, who am I? Ignorant. Again, that's why the real knowledge is the one that is inside the heart. Imam Shafi says, my knowledge is always with me. Put it in my chest. If I'm in the market, knowledge is in the market. If I'm at home, knowledge is at home. Ibn Hazm al-Zahiri, when they put him in jail and they burned his book, what did he do? He took a pen, he told them, you know, Ibn Hazm, he says, who told you my knowledge is in my books? He wrote another one, much sophisticated than the previous one, just like that. Ibn al-Qayyim, he was on the way to Hajj, wrote how many volumes of Zad al-Ma'ad? 5 volumes. On the way to Hajj, says, I have no time, please, sorry, I couldn't have time to sit down and do the good job. Look at Sir Alam al-Nubala, written by al-Dhahabi. What kind of brain is this, you know? Sir Alam al-Nubala, around 27 volumes. Biography of the scholars, whoever happened to be counted as a scholar or narrate a hadith, you know, his biography is there. Starting from the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the best encyclopedias in terms of knowing the Tarajim, Ar-Ruwat, and the people. Yeah. You have them, you know, if you go back, you see the way people are. So it is my personal advice to all of us, please change this lazy behavior. We have good in us, that's why we come to the classes. Yeah. Allah, that is good in us. But how to utilize that good, unfortunately, not many of us know. We come to the class, right? Yeah. But trust me, if I'm going to ask about many things which we did, many of us will get stuck. Where are we getting stuck? Because we did not revise. Imam al-Bukhari, they mentioned some part of his history that he wakes up sometimes 13 times at night. Tell me, what kind of sleep is he having at night? Every time he wakes up, he would take the pen and the lantern, light it up and make a light so that he can see, take something. This is like ideas coming to him when he is sleeping. Even in their dreams, the dreams of knowledge comes, you know, not dreams of some other things. So when he wakes up, he remembers something, write it down. Get it? These are the scholars. Now, subhanallah, they mentioned one of the scholars was sitting down in the masjid together with another scholar. Scholar met a scholar and they were revising the knowledge. They started doing this discussion when? Isha time. Subhanallah, they were there enjoying their discussion before they realized the muadzin is coming for Fajr to open the door. They didn't even know that Fajr comes in. Yeah, these are the scholars. And this is how they get that, you know, subhanAllah, huge amount of knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept their dhikr, their remembrance. Do we need this today? Yes, we do need this today. Yeah. So please remove the laziness. They said this knowledge, you cannot get it with birahatil jism. Trust me, knowledge you cannot get it birahatil jism. You rest, no more knowledge. You have to work. Yeah, many of the scholars get into trouble. Many lost their life because of the trips they are going. Baqir bin Makhlad went to Imam Ahmad, you know, how many kilometers? Thousands of kilometers to narrate hadith from Imam Ahmad. He became the best with that effort they made. That's why this statement of one of the Maliki scholars is really beautiful. He says, At'ib qadamak. Complete. At'ib qadamak. Fa'in ta'iba qaddamak. He said, tire your feet. When they get tired, they will bring you forward. Yeah, qadam is the feet. Make them tired, The moment they get tired, because you have so many traveling here and there to get knowledge from this person and that person. Yeah. When they get tired, then they put you forward. They elevate you in ranking. You'll be up. So one of the scholars said, this knowledge, you give little. I'm sorry, you give all of you. It gives you a little. And subhanAllah, knowledge is amazing. The more you learn, the more you discover that you are ignorant. You know Sheikh Al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, right? People will say, we don't think this person also saw somebody like him in his life. Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, or one of the scholars, when he met him, he says, this person is amazing. He says, never think of seeing somebody like this. He says, I see a person that's like all the disciplines, all the knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them in front of his eyes. He just take whatever he wants and speak about it. And if he talks about tafsir, you can say, Aqsimu billah, this man never learned anything except tafsir in his life. If he speaks fiqh, you think that he is number one. The Malikis are learning fiqh from him. Shafi, who was he? Hanbali, right? Shafi, they're learning fiqh from him. Hanbalis, Hanafis, they're learning from him. Imam al-Dhahabi, he says, Wa arabiyatuhu qawiyya. He said, this person is really strong in Arabic language. That's why when Abu Hayyan al-Tawhidi debated with him, you know, and Ibn Taymiyyah made him angry. Ibn Taymiyyah says, Akhta' Sibawayh. You know, Sibawayh is the number one in the Nahw, right? The reference, the father of, I mean, his book is the most important reference in the Nahw. And then Ibn Taymiyyah is saying that Sibawayh is wrong. Abu Hayyan was annoyed. He said, Sibawayh? You're saying that Sibawayh is wrong? He said, yes. وَهَلْ هُوَ نَبِيُّ النَّحْو? I love this so much. He says, وَهَلْ هُوَ نَبِيُّ النَّحْو? Was he the prophet of Nahw? To say that he would not make mistake? And this is a very interesting statement, I'm telling you. Because the moment you start believing that Sheikh Hamad will never be wrong, then you're going to be deviated. Right, Hamad? And, because this is who we are. We are right sometimes and we are wrong sometimes. If I claim that my sheikh cannot be wrong, trust me, this is the beginning of deviation. Because I'm going to take from him blindly. And he is human being who makes mistakes. Yeah? So that's why Ibn Taymiyyah told him, Sibawayh, was he the prophet of Nahw? Because a prophet is the only one who cannot make mistake in language. There's no way for you to say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wrong in his speaking. We take the way we speak, we correct our speeches with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why if you can establish that this is the hadith said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is enough as a reference in the way people can speak. This is the way we should say it in Arabic language, because they are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the thing is, how to confirm that this is what he says? The Rawi did not say it in his own words, because sometimes it is, the hadith is narrated in the word of the Rawi. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the thing, but these are not his words. Yeah, it might be the word of the Rawi. Yeah, that's why the controversy lies. So Ibn Taymiyyah told him, I'm going to show you in the book of Sibawayh, not less than 80 places if you wish. All of them are wrong. Sibawayh is wrong. That's worse than before. At least before he says he was wrong once, right? But now he's telling him that he can draw his attention on 80 places in Nahw where Sibawayh is wrong. SubhanAllah. They mentioned that somebody did research, but I did not see that research in Medina, talking about these places where Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah believes that Sibawayh is wrong. Yeah, and some of them, according to their researcher, Sibawayh is right and Ibn Taymiyyah is wrong. And some of them, Ibn Taymiyyah is right and Sibawayh is wrong. Yeah, because Sibawayh is not Nabiyu Hadhi al-Ummah. You know, he makes some mistakes also. So the purpose of all of this is to motivate you, to push you up. Inshallah, to make you somebody, please do revise. Yeah? Knowledge without revision is like somebody who has wealth without pain, there's a cap. That's why they said, أَدِمْ لِلْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةً فَدَوَامُ الْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةُ. It's a constantly revised knowledge, because the existence of knowledge and continuation of that which you have is based on مُذَاكَرَة, how much you revise it. You get it? That's why I know many people. Like I witnessed a person who went to Medina, actually before us, you know. before us. We reach the balance of those great scholars, alhamdulillah. But in that time, it's those fatahila. But then subhanallah, he used to come to one of my classes. I'm telling you, if he did not tell me that he was in Medina, I would never believe. Because even the questions he asked is the question of a very simple layman. What happened? What did he do in that place? So I'm pretty sure they graduate and they have, but since you don't revise, slowly, slowly the knowledge will be gone. Yeah. Things which you study with people the same in the same class, they used to be with you, but then now they forgot almost everything. Why is that? Because they don't revise it. So أدم للعلم مذاكرة فدوام العلم مذاكرته. That's why I said zakat for the knowledge is to teach, and teaching is one type of mudhakara. Yeah. In the past, they used to revise in any way. You Allah. You might say, well, are they okay? No, they're okay. We should question ourselves whether we're okay or not. If he goes to the house, he couldn't find anything sometimes except a jariya, his female slave. She doesn't know anything about hadith. But he would tell her, please just sit down here. Let me tell you something. Haddathana fulan, and fulan, and fulan. She would tell him, what am I going to do with these guys that you are mentioning? He said, no problem, just listen. Because he cannot just sit down and talk to himself. He needs somebody to talk to. And subhanAllah, they told us sometimes if they couldn't find any human being to talk to, they go to animals, the sheep in the house. Sit down next to the sheep. Haddathani Muhammad ibn Hamad. Haddathana Sufyan is Thawri, you know. Talking to who? Sheep. They just want to tell the brain that there is somebody we are telling there. You get it? Yeah. So I really urge you to develop this culture of learning, taking note, coming to the class early, living at the last person you will leave the class. Yeah. You get it? That's why if you are in a class, you see that the sheikh, whoever is, if you're not in hurry, necessity, trust me, you should be the last person to leave. Because there's going to be people asking questions. You shouldn't miss those ones. Because question and answers sometimes are used to address matters that the sheikh missed in the lecture. And sometimes, maybe throughout the class, this matter, he will never discuss it. But because somebody asked, then he will discuss it through the questions. So only those few who remain behind with that person will be able to get this. That's why subhanAllah in Medina, whenever the class finishes, you will see people sometimes follow the sheikh until his car. Yeah. They want to get everything. Whoever is asking, they listen. Just like the journalists, sometimes they with their phones and taking it. Yeah, they don't want to miss anything. So develop this culture. Go into the class early, having strong interest, taking note, revising everything, you know, before you sleep. Yeah, revising everything before you sleep and keep revising from time to time. Yeah. So the people who are behind the screen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you, because I see there are some people, they're really regular attendance, they don't miss. And it looks like also they're always awake, because you can see answers are coming whenever we ask questions. They're deeply involved, and sometimes much quicker than people who are present in the class. So try your best and seek the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and focus and take note. That will help you to focus in the class. Taking note will help you so much to focus in the class. Yeah, because you know, if you're not focusing, then you will miss what? The sheikh, whosoever, and he said, you see. May Allah grant us good and love all of you and be with you wherever you are. Okay.
So if someone is specifically having difficulties memorizing names, the names of the Sahaba and narrators, is this due to insufficient revision, or could it be
insufficient
revision? If someone can memorize, yes, like hadith and Quran, yes, and stories, but he has difficulty recalling names.
There's insufficient revision. He has to focus and don't rush. Yeah, don't rush. That's why one of the things I benefit from one of our contemporary scholars, he said he read somewhere, he says, I did not understand this because our scholars used to say that, very young person, but subhanAllah, this statement, he said, our scholars used to tell us something which I did not understand it until after later time I got it. Sahibu Kitab. Yusuf, I want you to open this puzzle for me. Sahibu Kitab afdalu min sahibi alf kitab. Sahibu Kitab afdalu min sahib alf kitab.
Alfi kitab.
Alf kitab. Alf kitab. Min sahibi alf kitab. Thank you, Yusuf. Why did you lose this? You know. No, I want you to open the puzzle, because if you look at it, Sahibu Kitab afdal min sahib alf kitab, it doesn't make sense. I wrote 1,000 books. You wrote only one. How can you be better than me? You get it? I read 1,000 books. You read only one. How can you be better than me? It doesn't make sense. No, even not necessarily tekrar. Because you see, okay, like this. Trust me, I can sit down in one night if I pressure myself. Inshallah, the next morning, I finish this. Done. Finish. I went through everything. But I shouldn't forget, I'm not Imam Shafi. Imam Shafi, they even make jokes. They said when he wants to memorize something, let's say he wants to memorize this page, he has to cover this one. Because whatever his eyes catches, he already memorized. And he wants only this one. Sheikh Al-Amin Shanqiti, we study under some of his students, many of his students. One of them told us that only one person can follow his class in writing, can write, take note in his class. Sheikh Al-Amin Shanqiti, only one person can take note in the class. Why? Because he's very quick. And that person is somebody who writes without dot and harakat. Ha, jim, ha. If you stop to write the dots, he already passed. They make jokes. They say when he teach, he does like this, like that, like this, like that. So they say somebody ask him, Sheikh, why you push your hand like this and that? He said, because the moment I start talking, so many issues would keep on coming. I don't want them. I want only this one. Nowadays, you are trying to think about. What to say also is gone. You're trying to look for it. Where is it? You know? But subhanAllah, whether it is true, this is what he said or not. But subhanAllah, this is who they are. If you listen to the lessons of Sheikh Al-Amin Shanqiti, you will understand, yes, that yes, definitely you're dealing with somebody at that capacity. They ask him, Sheikh, why in your class, you know, tafsir class, Sheikh will talk about Lugha, as if this is the Nahu class, as if this is Balagha class. He talks about Aqidah, as if this is Aqidah class. He talks about Fiqh, as if this is Fiqh class. They told him, Sheikh, why your class, there is no focus on one thing? He said, yes, because I have different types of people coming to my class. So I try to make sure that everyone get what brought him here. There are scholars, there are students who are specializing in Aqidah, I want them to go with something. There are students who are specializing in language, I want them to get something. They said, Faqir al-Shay'i la yu'ti. The one who lacks something cannot give it to others. Why does he talk about every discipline? Because he studied those disciplines. Yeah. Why can't we do? Because we don't study them. So sahibu kitab afdal min sahibi alf kitab is talking about the person who focuses. So I can finish this within 1 day, 2 days. And I can also sit on this book for 1 year reading this book. But how do I read? Yeah. I go one page, I read a place, I focus so much, I write some ta'liqat at the side, you know. So before I finish this page, I move to another page. If somebody is to ask me about this page, I can tell you whatever is in that page. Who said what, with the names. And so if you go this kind of reading, usually you will be able to remember who said what. Yeah. But if you go so fast, in one page you have like 15, 20 names. How do you remember all of these names? And how do you manage to link this statement to the, yeah. You get it? In the past, they revise a lot. That's why this muhaddith, he came to the house and he started revising his hadith. Reading. His grandmother at home, an old woman, his grandmother at home, she memorized the whole thing. He's reading 100 hadith. She memorized them because he kept on repeating them. She told him, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to memorize. She said, trying to memorize? He said, yes. She said, I already finished. He said, oh, really? She said, yes. He said, okay, can you tell me? She recited all of those grandmothers of those days. Anyway, so she recited all of those ones that he was reading. So the boy, the man said, oh, that's interesting. Okay, he closed the page. He keeps revising. After a few days, he came back to her. He said, Grandma, can you help me can you remind me those hadiths that you memorized? She tried to remember any one of them, she forgot. He said, you see the difference, right? You were blaming me when I was reading, right? He said, you see the difference. I can read all of them now to you. I don't forget. And I'll close this with one story of Imam al-Bukhari, which is mashura, the one they mentioned, the imtihan in one of the cities he visited. The scholars decided to test him. A group of scholars, right? Each one of them brought hadith. Took altogether 100 hadith. What they do is, like all of us, right? Hamad will narrate the hadith of Innamal Amalu bin Niyat, but then he say this Abu Huraira narrated it. And they put the chain of narration, the chain, they will mention all of the chain. Yeah. And Ihsan would narrate the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Inna hadakum yujma'u khalquhu, but then he said this is narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, for instance, and mentioned different isnad for it. SubhanAllah, imagine each one of them is mentioned in a hadith with different chain of narration, mess it up, he's the one who put it in his own way, not the correct one. And they ask Imam al-Bukhari, do you know this hadith? He said, no. And they say, how come people say you was the Amir al-Mu'mineen in hadith, but you don't know this one? He said, yeah, I don't know. Never heard of them. You never heard of them? He said, yes. Because you, the hadith you mentioned, this isnad is strong. The isnad of that person is supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, those scholars were saying, we are not amazed of his memorization. No, but how does he remember what each and every one of them, the mess that is produced by each and every one of them? He was able to remember that. Their brain is not like ours, right? Were they human beings? Yes. But why their brain is so sharp? Ours is, ala barakatillah. You get it, why? Because they too much stay away from sins and ma'asi. Imam Shafi says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِئِنْ سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ أَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهُدَىٰ لِعَاصِي. He said, I told Waqi'a, my Shaykh Waqi'a ibn Jarrah, very big scholar in hadith, he said, I told him that I'm facing some difficulties in memorizing the knowledge, in remembering. You know who is Imam Shafi? They use him as an example of how strong brain and memory should be. So he said, I was facing difficulty in memorization. And then I told my sheikh, he said, Muhammad, you should know that knowledge is a light from Allah. And the light from Allah cannot be given to the heart of a sinner. All right? So let's conclude this. The more you have the taqwa, the more you learn. That's why Allah SWT says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Al-ulama, the real person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the scholars. You get it? Yeah. You have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you learn more. Is that clear? May Allah grant us good. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, whoever I did not address their question, bi idhnillahi azza wa jalla, next class we will deal with that, inshallah. Sorry for that. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.